Our scripture for today, and I want to encourage you to keep the scripture in front of you because I'm going to refer to it often today. The scripture is from the third chapter of Revelation, verses 7 through 13, and this is from the New King James Version. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens." That's the one that says those things. "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, the beginning of my message this morning involves the troubles and the challenges of our time in this world. But it also goes beyond our times to have us to understand the nature of God and his intentions for mankind. Here in 2022, we continue to struggle with a major concept. Equality. We struggled with it last year and the year before and for countless years. But God's intentions for undeniable equality for mankind have not changed since he established this on the first day he created and placed us on this world, the same world that we live in today. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. First book of Genesis, verse 27. You can't get it any more the same, equal as that. Male was not created in a different image than female. You gentlemen, you ladies, we're all created in the same image. And that same image is the singular image of God. Amen. By his intent. And that brings me to this. Tuesday of this past week was International Women's Day. And the month of March has been designated Women's History Month. As the push for more and more recognition of certain groups and classifications of people, particularly in our good country, months of the calendar are being labeled for recognition that will bring equality in standing for those designated. There's Hispanic Heritage Month, Black History Month, Older Americans Month, Gender Equality Month, Irish American Heritage Month, Older Americans Month, Gender Equality Month, actually, for these last few years, every month of the year is set up for special recognition of one or two or three more recognitions in that month of special cultures or groups. And that's good. Equality of all has been foundational for America since our beginnings as a nation. Declaring ourselves as independent of all other nations, we did this. We established equality of all as the basis of our living and governing of ourselves. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Of course, men in that declaration absolutely meant everyone. Now, gender sensitive, we would say all people are created equal, but it's the same thing. We haven't always lived up to that standard, but we do it now better than ever before, and we are working on it. These monthly recognition ideas is another step in the right direction. So this is Women's History Month, and perhaps our best guide to honoring women is the distinct and unquestionable biblical recognition of women. Mothers, wives, sisters, daughters, all women. I began this thought assigning credit to God in the beginning, Genesis 1:27, as creating mankind with both genders, not only separate, male and female, but also equal, both in the same image of the Creator. And then throughout the rest of the books of the Bible, God called out many, many women to step into prominence and take leadership in the same way that He calls out men to take leadership. I wish I had time to elaborate on these women, but you know their stories. I can only mention a few. But look up these people in the lives and their lives in these books. Eve, of course, in Genesis. Abraham, Sarah in Genesis. Ruth in the book of Ruth. Deborah, the judge and actually the only female prime minister of Israel in Judges. Tamar, mother of Perez, a forefather of King David, and then, of course, Jesus. That's in Deuteronomy. And there are more in the Old Testament. And then Mary and Elizabeth and Mary Magdalene and those all in the Gospels. Dorcas in Acts. Phoebe, Priscilla in Romans. Chloe in 1 Corinthians. Lois and Eunice in 2 Timothy and others. Well, my major point here is these were all prominent women used by God in national and religious leadership, and so let's celebrate the place, all the places of women in the church. And to wrap it up, this excerpt from the super good tribute to women in Proverbs, Proverbs 31, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household. This church is highly blessed with godly women. Now, on to today's scripture and today's message. In this season of Lent, thinking of the earthly days of Jesus, we also need to look beyond to the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus and His divine role as He returned to heaven and prepared for bringing in His kingdom. Very important messages were given to His Apostle John to instruct and to guide the various successions of the church. Guidelines that every church should see. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus addressed many church issues as He addressed through John seven letters to the various depictions of the church. I've chosen one for today, the letter to the church in Philadelphia, as timely for this Boscadel church, for us, and for all who will read it and hear its message. The letter to Philadelphia is designed to reassure and strengthen courageous hearts, and to confirm the faithfulness of loyal minds, certainly what we wish for and what we strive for and what we hope for Boscadel Baptist. It is a letter that warns Christians of the great trials that are to come and gives encouragement by making promises for the future. And the first thing to be emphasized in this letter is the identification of the Son of God with the church. My goodness, we did a great job of that in singing those hymns, didn't we not? Please, as I've said, follow me by looking at the verses in your bulletin as we go through. The Son of God is identified as to his character or persona in verse 7. Identification, persona. He is holy. The word holy expresses divine sacredness and points to Jesus as the Messiah of God. This separates him from any limitations or imperfections, and it speaks of absolute purity. He's also characterized as true, which means genuine. There's nothing counterfeit about Jesus. He applied the quality of truth to himself, saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth characterizes the right and proper actions, a proper quality of actions. What a true person does is a result of what he or she is. Because of these characteristics, holiness and truth, whatever Christ does is absolutely and always right. In addition to defining his character, he's identified as to his office. He is the officer who has the essential key, the key of David. There in verse 7, Jesus is quoted to John from Isaiah 22:22. Now you can look that up, but that's what it is there. Keys are the symbols of authority and rule. Being of the house of David identifies Jesus as the Messiah of all Scripture. References to opening and shutting in verse 7 refer to a crucial administrative role of Jesus in the church. When Jesus opens a door, such as service to God, no one can shut it. And when he shuts a door, one cannot enter. Believe in Jesus and the key is turned and heaven's door is open. Do not believe and you will perish. Heaven's door is locked shut with the key held by Jesus. Jesus is the divine officer in charge of and in absolute control of history, of all history, including personal history, yours and mine. And then in his identification with the church, Jesus issues a commendation. There in verse 8, Jesus speaks to the church as his. One who identifies themselves with his name. Jesus makes no complaint about the church there in Philadelphia, but his words of commendation are prefaced with a statement of perfect knowledge. He says, "I know." Jesus' praise is of special importance because of some weakness of the church. He says, "a little strength." That possibly refers to a weakness in, I would guess, maybe numbers, but not in influence. And I have to be honest here. Being no longer counted as your pastor, I'm guessing I can just speak out. Is that all right, Effie? Do I have your permission? I can speak out. The dwindling number of members attending Sunday services and involved with other church events and activities, ones who claim special association with Boscadale Baptist Church as registered members is becoming a visibly difficult, not positive sign of a once thriving church here. We can blame the COVID crisis all we want, but recall before that, regular numbers of 35 at times 40 here on Sunday morning was consistent. But, you know, even that represented less than 50% of the membership regularly participating. Relative to that, the current regular Sunday attendance of 15 to 18, I think 15 here today, the consistent faithful has become, I think, the little strength like the Church of Philadelphia. And that is indeed a warning. But take heart, it is also Bosquedale's hope and challenge. Read that verse 8 carefully with this in mind. Jesus wants to stand with this church even as he was with the Philadelphia church. He said, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. You've kept my word and have not denied my name. God bless us, I believe I can read Bosquedale's name there. The commendation is twofold. Faithfulness to the word of God. Yes, as a church, I believe we are absolutely a biblical people. And faithfulness to the name of Jesus. Yes, Bosquedale Church is a Christian named people. Jesus promised to set before Philadelphia an open door. And with your faithfulness to the Bible and to Jesus, with our little strength, we are promised that he will keep here an open door. Third thing that the church faces is opposition. Verse 9. The opposition is different from that of the other six churches representing the multiple problems of many of those who've named themselves churches through the years. These are the other six of the seven churches. We've all been given all of those illustrative churches against which we are helped to see basically every peril of the church against the world. You read through those two chapters, you see the church at Smyrna, well, there, yeah, I know some churches like that. And those, you just read them. Philadelphia's opposition, people who were opposed to them as a church, it wasn't pagan persecution from outsiders. It wasn't doctrinal corruption from within the membership. It wasn't compromise. The opposition here in Philadelphia came from those who did not recognize Christ as the Messiah, yet wanted to call themselves God's people. It was from a collection of people, the strictly Jews of that day, who denied that Jesus was the one prophesied to them as the holy and true one. And we, Bosquedale, can certainly identify with that. We have the multi-religious and non-religious communities that congregate in our university setting whose non-Jesus gods are just as wrong as those of the synagogue of Satan there in verse 9, just as wrong as the ones were in Philadelphia. Our challenge of this 21st century is to be obviously faithful to our belief, to those Jesus identified as those who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For us then and for now, Jesus gives some promises to the faithful church. And you'll find these in verses 9 through 12. First, he gives a promise of vindication, of justifying who we are as Christians. God will make those of the synagogue of Satan come to know that the children of God in Christ are really loved by him. We sometimes wish that knowledge would happen to our adversaries. Our adversaries. Verse 9 assures us that it will. Our adversaries want them to come to recognize us as people God and Christ really love. Second, he promises in verse 10 to keep the faithful from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test its inhabitants. You know, it always amazes me that some pretty devout Christians express fear, express their own fear that we're living in end times. Jesus is not going to back away from this promise of protection for the faithful. You have nothing to fear. Third, he promises his soon return in verse 11. And that's a wonderful encouragement to that particular church and a continuing encouragement to the faithful of the church of all time. We don't know the timetables of God. We just know that soon means that it could come at any time, and for sure, we are not going to be waiting forever. Right. When he comes, he promises that he will give the faithful a crown, which means that all faithful will reign with him. We will stand strongly with Jesus in heaven. And Jesus' fourth promise is that he will make those who overcome pillars, standing always in the temple of God, mm-hmm. the new heaven. That's verse 12. By pillar, we know that we will symbolize permanence and support. Those who overcome are the dependable, solid, unbending ones, pillars. As promised here to this church and passed on to all faithful and overcoming churches, he will write on you as a pillar, on all of us. He will write on us the name of God, which indicates a complete consecration to God. He will write the name of the city of God, which indicates an undeniable citizenship in the New Jerusalem, the new heavenly city of God. And then Jesus will write on those pillars his new name, which indicates that we shall have further knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. We don't know it all yet. Mm-hmm. That same door proclaimed for the Philadelphia church has been thrown open to faithful churches of this day, including Boscadale Baptist Church. As a faithful local church, we need to pattern our conduct, our loyalty, and our integrity after that church at Philadelphia, even in this temporary time we are experiencing now, a time of waning and little strength. The promises of God to this church of long ago are still standing promises. Amen. We are to claim them as we make our way toward the victory of another Easter resurrection. It's just some short weeks away. God bless us as we prepare.